and philosophy. That said, I am talking about some of Buddhism's more extraordinary, even radical claims. Claims that, if you take them seriously, could revolutionize your view of yourself and of the world. This book is intended to get you to take these claims seriously. 2. I'm of course aware that there's no one Buddhism, but rather various Buddhist traditions, which differ on all kinds of doctrines. But this book focuses on a kind of common core, fundamental ideas that are found across the major Buddhist traditions, even if they get different degrees of emphasis, and may assume somewhat different form in different traditions. 3. I'm not getting into super fine-grained parts of Buddhist psychology and philosophy. For example, the Abhidhamma Pitaka, a collection of early Buddhist texts, asserts that there are 89 kinds of consciousness, 12 of which are unwholesome. You may be relieved to hear that this book will spend no time trying to evaluate that claim. 4. I realize that true is a tricky word, and asserting the truth of anything, certainly including deep ideas in philosophy or psychology, is a tricky business. In fact, one big lesson from Buddhism is to be suspicious of the intuition that your ordinary way of perceiving the world brings you the truth about it. Some early Buddhist writings go so far as to raise doubts about whether such a thing as truth ultimately exists. On the other hand, the Buddha, in his most famous sermon, lays out what are commonly called the Four Noble Truths, so it's not as if the word true has no place in discussions of Buddhist thought. In any event, I'll try to proceed with appropriate humility and nuance as I make my argument that Buddhism's diagnosis of the human predicament is fundamentally correct, and that its prescription is deeply valid and urgently important. 5. Asserting the validity of core Buddhist ideas doesn't necessarily say anything, one way or the other, about other spiritual or philosophical traditions. There will sometimes be logical tension between a Buddhist idea and an idea in another tradition, but often there won't be. The Dalai Lama has said, "Don't try to use what you learn from Buddhism to be a better Buddhist. Use it to be a better whatever you already are." Robert Wright. 1. Taking the Red Pill. At the risk of overdramatizing the human condition, have you ever seen the movie The Matrix? It's about a guy named Neo, played by Keanu Reeves, who discovers that he's been inhabiting a dream world. The life he thought he was living is actually an elaborate hallucination. He's having that hallucination while, unbeknownst to him, his actual physical body is inside a gooey, coffin-sized pod, one among many pods, rows and rows of pods, each pod containing a human being absorbed in a dream. These people have been put in their pods by robot overlords and given dream lives as pacifiers. The choice faced by Neo, to keep living a delusion or wake up to reality, is famously captured in the movie's Red Pill scene. Neo has been contacted by rebels who have entered his dream, or, strictly speaking, whose avatars have entered his dream. Their leader, Morpheus, played by Lawrence Fishburne, explains the situation to Neo. "You are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, into a prison that you cannot taste or see or touch, a prison for your mind." The prison is called the Matrix, but there's no way to explain to Neo what the Matrix ultimately is. "The only way to get the whole picture," says Morpheus, "is to see it for yourself." He offers Neo two pills, a red one and a blue one. Neo can take the blue pill and return to his dream world, or take the red pill and break through the shroud of delusion. Neo chooses the red pill. That's a pretty stark choice, a life of delusion and bondage, or a life of insight and freedom. In fact, it's a choice so dramatic that you'd think a Hollywood movie is exactly where it belongs, that the choices we really get to make about how to live our lives are less momentous than this, more pedestrian. Yet when the movie came out, a number of people saw it as mirroring a choice they had actually made.